Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. Welcome. This is the 10 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House, hour number 3. Our open home hour. It's open to anything you, the Arizona homeowners, want to talk about, your home, castle, or cabin. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. Now, it's Halloween day. A lot of times, holiday weekends, everyone's preoccupied. So Roger Naylor in a little bit. This hour as well, kind of a relaxed weekend because, hey, holiday weekends, we're kind of relaxed around the house anyway. And I don't know about you, I have not seen nearly the amount of Halloween decorations than what I seem to be accustomed to. And driving around, I don't know if it's maybe just my pattern or if I'm just not paying that close of attention, but I was thinking, like, it doesn't even feel like Halloween. Generally, the amount of yard decorations is an indicator. And 2020 just been a scary enough year for everyone. They're checking out of Halloween this time.
Well, I think it is depending on what part of town or what part of the state you're at. Because in my neighborhood, I've seen more Halloween decorations and lights, too, as well, going up. And they've been up for about 2 weeks.
They're all over at Gary's neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. So
where all the goblins live.
Yeah. So it looks like I'll be packing some candy for tonight. But and it's going to be a little warmer than normal, but I guess this time of year in Arizona, Halloween's kind of that way anyway.
Weather, one of the many reasons people live here, and they are not slowing down. You've heard us talk, and not only us, but I'm sure it's all over the news, just the amount of people moving into the state from all over the country. And most people listening to this broadcast probably weren't even originally from Arizona or first generation. So whatever the case may be, this is your happy place Saturday morning. We try to be every Arizona homeowner's best friend by taking and offering advice and direction and ideas on how to properly maintain your home, castle, or cabin. And our ideal goal as homeowners and homeownership, no matter what home we're living in, how long we plan to live in that home, how short of time, whatever the transition period may be, we want to operate and live in a home as if you could put it on the market tomorrow. That's almost impossible to do.
That's true.
I've never been able to achieve it.
It's a lofty goal for most, but yes.
That should be your goal and your mindset. And here's why. Because what do you do when you sell a home or even just take it to a party? Let's say you're having some friends over for trick-or-treating tonight. What have you been doing all week? You've been cleaning up. You've been getting ready. You've been preparing. You're getting ready to show the house. You're getting ready to invite company. You want things put away nice. Everything's fixed and put away. So a clean home, an organized home, a well-maintained home is a very comfortable and very high quality of life. And that's what we hope that this program helps you strive towards on your day-to-day living. And so many times when we go to help somebody sell a home, we get done with all these improvements that they think they have to do to put it on the market. And they go, gosh, why? We should have done this earlier. Man, it's so nice now. And we're moving. And I wish I could stay here now. Oh, if I'd only known that it could have been this nice. And
yeah, I wonder how many people that say, we're putting this house on the market. So they remodel, they dress it up and everything, and then they take a look at it and go, nope, it's off the market. This looks really nice. We should have done this in the first place.
Well, unfortunately, that's not the case in a lot of times because they're either downsizing because the kids are out.
Okay.
So even though it's all fixed up nice, well, they still don't want to maintain that bigger home. They're moving for work. They're moving to a different location through town. Maybe, you know, it's retirement time and they want to get out of the city and go a little bit more rural. So often when they do get done with the improvements for a home, you're not in a position to sit there. But what you've also done is you've just dumped a ton of money into your home that you're probably not going to get back on resale value, that you've got to be very careful how much money you put in just before you go to sell the home. A lot of people and realtors, I'm not trying to badmouth realtors, but, you know, they like the flashy things. Flashy things are easier to sell. So a lot of people end up getting pushed into spending money on their home going up to a sale under the impression that's going to help it go faster, I'm going to get more money. But the first thing a person will do when they move into a new home is often change the color, or they'll often change the flooring because it's now their home. They're going to make a lot of changes. So a lot of those changes could have been stuff you just spent money doing. So you may have more material waste that ends up in the landfill now because they're ripping stuff out or they're painting over what you just painted. So there's an extra layer of paint on there that didn't need to be quite as fast. And it's a fine line. So if we can maintain our home to where we're confident we could put it on the market any given day, at the point you are ready to put it on the market, you've got a better advantage over anyone else on the street that might be trying to sell. A lot less headaches, a lot less decision-making, a lot less bargaining. The home inspector comes out and, oh, your roof is this and your air conditioning's that. And so then you end up bargaining on the price and lowering it so that the new buyer can come in and make these repairs. And it becomes this negotiation and price...
Price haggling.
There you go. So, but a well-maintained home, you don't have those. So that's the goal. That's where we're trying to get. And at least if it's only in our mind, if we can't physically get there for whatever reason, it costs more that way. The demand for our time is different. I know that's a big part of my day today is I don't have the time to get all this done with all the kids' activities on the weekends. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of traveling, on the road a lot for work. So it's not always
feasible. Yeah.
But that is the mindset and the goal.
So when you're putting your house on the market, let's say there's the one room that you need to focus on. Which one would that be?
Most people will tell you...
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
The kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the kitchen is the most focal point in the house that actually would sell the house. Now, I don't know if you'd want to spend a whole bunch of money converting it, you know, from the 1950s look to the 2000 look, depending on the value of the house. But the kitchen, I believe, I think Rosie had mentioned that too. The kitchen's the number one room, the number one remodel part of the house that look to do.
It's the most used. It gets the most wear. It has the most of everything. Because in a kitchen, the only thing you don't have is a toilet. or maybe your washing machine as well.
Yeah, it's a morning show. I got to get it out of my mind. But no, you're right.
And cabinets, sinks, faucets, ovens, you know.
But you know, it's really that room that everybody congregates. If you think about it, you know, mom, dad, the kids, they have breakfast at the dining table. That's usually either part of the kitchen or right next to it. So, yeah, the kitchen is the focal point. That's the one thing that people look at when they're looking for a new home. I know my former neighbors that I hated losing because they were so much fun. One day, their little boy said, "We're moving, Mr. Gary." And I go, "Oh, really?" And they gave me this look of, "Oh, you weren't supposed to know that. We were going to tell you anyway." But the simple reason they moved was she and her sisters, when they got in the kitchen, it was so small they couldn't fit. They couldn't get together, congregate, fit, and cook, and all this other stuff. So they just needed a larger house with a bigger kitchen. It was simple as that.
Home ownership, you got to love it, especially when people come over and spill stuff. You know, we've got a lot of trick-or-treaters going on tonight, possibly. And Mohawk Flooring published a blog on 7 things that commonly land on floors and what to do about them, including spaghetti sauce, glitter, potty accidents, glue, nail polish, paint, and then this one, slime. Do you know what slime is?
Slime?
Slime. It's a kids make it. It's out of glue and food coloring and
borax.
And there was a phase my kids were playing with it all the time. Well, they've got a direction on how to get that out of carpet, and it's a mixture of it's a quarter teaspoon of clear hand dishwashing detergent per 1 cup of water. Will help break that down. So we'll post that on our radio archive page. You may just be in a situation tonight where you end up with the need to reference that.
My nieces and nephews, when they were kids, they were playing with slime. It just so happened to be around Halloween. Just got that nice little squishy, creepy kind of thing that you can...
Oh, pretend it's goblin snot or whatever.
Yeah, you know? Or rock snot.
Rock snot.
Let you find along the CAP canals. That's funny.
So I'm going to have to talk to Robert Steve about this editor for Arizona Highways, because I remember him telling when they did an article on sandwich shops that they got hounded from a few people, aggravated because it wasn't the typical Arizona Highways travel.
Right.
They wanted to see more pictures of the landscapes and not the sandwich shops. And it was still only a few pages of the magazine. It wasn't even a tenth of the content.
Exactly.
Of it. But I'm going to say half the content of this month's Arizona Highways magazine is all dedicated to Frank Lloyd Wright. There's multiple different articles, some question and answer with the new owners of the Dave and Gladys Wright house off of Camelback. Apparently, the new owners, a couple of them were architects at Talianis and West.
Oh, wow.
And they do plan to restore and put a copper roof on that building, which was part of Frank Lloyd Wright's original design, which surprises me. And I don't know, maybe copper was just a lot cheaper back there, because one thing that always impressed me about Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, when I build something, I very rarely find a way to do it cheap. I always want the best products, the best tools, the best material. I get done, I want it to be done for life. Well, Frank Lloyd Wright, his buildings, a lot of them still standing because it was masonry focused, but he also was one that could tie it in affordably. And that's something that has always impressed me about him, is we've got these timeless buildings and you think, you know, these were, you know, mega bucks to build, but that was part of his gift, is that he could come up with these incredible designs, these incredible structures, and not break the bank doing it. And I'm wondering if that's why the copper roof never originally ended up on the Dave and Gladys Wright house.
Makes perfect sense.
He was fitting in the budget. And they also had 10 things you might not know about Frank Lloyd Wright. His second oldest son, John, was the inventor of Lincoln Logs.
You're kidding. Wow.
Granddaughters was an actress that was an Oscar Best Actress nomination. So it was great to, if you don't have it, it's on stands now. It's November's issue of Arizona Highways Magazine.